Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself, with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I may not be thirsty, or have to keep coming here to draw water. I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking with you." Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him. When the Samaritans came to him, They invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word, and they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever. You know, it may not feel like it this morning with all this wonderful rain that we're having recently, but we are deep in the desert. We're 3 weeks now into Lent, right? We're about halfway through. And the desert is a harsh and difficult place to be. Imagine walking for days into Death Valley, baking in the sun, shivering in the cold of night, exposed, vulnerable, and not even sure where we're going. We set out in the beginning, you know, following after God, believing in his promises of a better life to come in the promised land on the far side of this journey. And we could see him then in the beginning as clearly as you see me now. But as we progress deeper into the desert, the days turn into weeks, into months, and eventually into years. Food is hard to come by. You know, the water is scarce. And we have a choice to make, whether to keep going or to turn back. You know, all of us have spiritual deserts that we must pass through. And this Lent, the Church gives us every year this season into the desert as a means of preparation and purification. And maybe right now some of us are going through our own personal spiritual deserts along with this liturgical season, but we all must pass through these deserts at one point or another, the seasons of life that are extremely challenging. The loss of a job, a chronic illness, a relationship that's falling apart at the seams, a season of depression, insomnia, anxiety, you name it. The desert tests our faith to the limit. And the journey we set out on in the beginning, which seems so promising, at a certain point begins to seem kind of hopeless. At times, like the Israelites in today's first reading, it even begins to seem like God abandons us. We don't see him anymore in our midst. Instead, we see other possibilities. We see escape routes that might have worked for us in the past. We see ways we might go that seem more concrete, more reliable than God's way. So a husband comes home from work to a fight with his wife, right? Fifth time this week. He can't remember the last time they were happy and in love like they were in the beginning. He can't see God in the desert war zone that is the family kitchen. But maybe he can see another way out. You know, that young lady at work is so nice to him every day. Or a young woman loses her job, has to move home to her parents' house. And she can't see God's plans for her anymore in the catastrophic failure of her own 5-year plan for her life. But back home in Colorado, while smoking pot like she used to do in high school, begins to seem like a pretty viable escape plan. The point is, the Israelites in the desert want to turn around and go back to Egypt. Now, they might be slaves, but at least they can count on getting 3 meals a day. It seems easier. And when we can't see God in the desert, we too are tempted to put our faith in what we can see, the other ways that seem more reliable. But friends, there is a problem with our vision. We're born with it. There's a defect in our sight. We can't see clearly. And in the desert, the very things we see that we want to put our faith in are like a mirage. You know, a mirage in the desert? From a distance, it looks solid. It's like you see an oasis. You're going to go for it. But as you get closer and closer, it gets further and further away. And it disappears. The things in the desert that we see and we want to put our faith in, we run after them, but running after them is a death sentence because we'll keep running and running and never be satisfied. Because the truth is, what seems so solid and trustworthy, that tempting relationship, that substance, food, drink, whatever it is like a breath of wind. It passes away and it disappears, leaving us right where we were before. So Jesus Christ is our only hope in the spiritual deserts of our lives. And he may be imperceptible at times, but he is with us. And we know that he is with us by our faith. Faith is a way of correcting our vision. Faith allows us to see things as they really are. It comes to us as a gift from God in the beginning. But we have to use the gift of faith, choosing to believe, choosing to trust in Jesus and his promises in order to see. And so Jesus says, "Behold, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. And all things, whatever you ask me in prayer, believe that you shall receive and they will be given unto you." These are his promises. And in the desert, as our faith is tested, as we're being purified and prepared, we put our faith into practice by taking Jesus at his word, choosing to believe that he is with us, even when his presence is imperceptible. In fact, there are times in the desert, and we should just be prepared for this, there are times when God hides himself in order to give us a chance to use the gift of faith, so that our faith gets stronger and we can withstand the later tests and trials that will surely come. God wants to draw that response of faith and trust out of us, little by little, just like the Israelites, like the woman at the well in his conversation with her. Little by little, he's drawing out her faith. He wants to see us take that risk, to put our trust in him, to choose not to run after the mirages in the desert, but rather cry out to him, "Jesus, save me." So today at this Holy Mass, reject the mirages. Choose, dare to put your faith and trust in the truth. As we receive Holy Communion, call on the name of Jesus to save us and lead us on through life's deserts into the promised land to come. And see what happens. Faith is proved over time by its fruit. And as we put our faith into practice, little by little, we begin to resemble Jesus, our older brother through baptism, and our teacher and Lord and model. And his most essential characteristic is his trust, his faith in his Father. As we put our faith in Jesus, we become like Jesus, mature men and women, strong in faith, wise, calm and unshakable in times of trial, unafraid of the desert, confident in the promises of God. And on the last day, Jesus, who leads us out from the desert of sin by stages, will bring us into the promised land of his Father's kingdom, where we shall live and reign with him in glory forever and ever and unto the ages of ages.